All right, well, bless your beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to John 13. Today I want to teach on considerations of prayer. We're about to begin a new term for our prayer group, which we call the Amicus Alliance. The reason we call it the Amicus Alliance is from the Latin phrase, amicus usque ad arum, or ad aris. Those words mean a friend to the last degree. And I thought that that would be an appropriate name for a particular prayer group. And now here's the reasons why. If you go to John 13, verse 1, it says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was to come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Isn't that beautiful? To the last degree. It reminds me, and it reminds the believing ones, of John 15. So if you just go a couple of more chapters over. "Because he loved us unto the end." And then it says in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He was a friend unto the end. And really, there is no end. So it continues to go. Hence, we have amicus usque ad aris. Where we lay down is to place or to set down. It's not in the sense of laying down your entire life. Jesus Christ already did that. It's where we can pick up our lives and utilize it for things. Where you would lay down your life or set aside a portion of your life for the need of a friend. Remember the parable where somebody came and knocked on their neighbor's door and said, "I have need of some bread. I've got company coming and I have need of bread." And he says, "I'm in bed. My children are with me. But nevertheless, because of a need, it is your need, I will arise and do that." He set aside his own life, what he was doing, some of the things he had desired to do, so that he could tend to his friend's need. And I think of that in a spiritual way. That's what our prayer life a lot of times is. And that's why we are beginning again this group, the Amicus Alliance, where we're willing to set aside a portion of our lives and our activities and things so we can take time out to pray for our friend. How long? Until there's a resolution or a restoration. We want to keep it in our hearts. We want to take that time to pray, to make intercession, all the way until the prayer is answered, or for us, the burden is lifted. I was thinking about that this morning. I came over to the chapel. I was burdened with some situations, and I came over here just to pray, and then all of a sudden I felt the burden just lift, and it was gone. And I thought, okay, I don't need to pray about this anymore. I know God has lifted this situation off of me, or the burden off of me, and whatever the need was is being taken care of. When we consider prayer, there's really two aspects that we need to take a look at. And so I'd like for you to go to 1 Corinthians 14. And this is in regard to prayer in the church. This is how these prayer and manifestations are to function in the church. And in 1 Corinthians 14, we'll start in verse 14, where it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue..." To pray in an unknown tongue means speaking in tongues, which I'll get to in a minute. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit does what? Prays. But my understanding is unfruitful." So what do? Well, it tells us in verse 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Isn't that beautiful? See, English is a known language to me. And a lot of times, most of the time when I pray, I'm praying in English. But there's also praying in the spirit, or praying where it is by tongues. And in operating the manifestation of speaking in tongues, I am speaking in a language that is unknown to me. And it is, the scriptures tell me, it's perfect prayer and intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praying in our understanding is important. It's important to us because a lot of times we need to get the burden off if we know what it is. We need to make the request. I need to know that I have talked to God about this particular situation. As Michelle taught a few weeks ago when she taught in prayer, it's my conversation with God. I'm having my conversation with the Father. Here's my friend. Here is his situation, Lord. And we need some intercession in this. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your direction for this particular situation. And, of course, in a conversation, you get an answer back. but then I also want to do praying in the Spirit because it also is important. So we are to do both of them. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding, which for me is English, also. I'll do both of them. And I love that, particularly in the church, because a lot of times we'll take time to pray for different things in our fellowship. And while someone's praying in English and I'm listening to them, I am also praying by the Spirit. I'm speaking in tongues for that particular situation. And I wanted to show you, just once again, for those of you that perhaps speaking in tongues may be new for you, or you don't quite understand what speaking in tongues is all about. So let's go to John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, Jesus is talking about the coming Comforter. And I cannot think of a greater comfort than speaking in tongues and praying for a situation. Praying in English, but also praying in the Spirit. And we'll start in verse 37. It says, in the last day, meaning that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the what? Spirit. See it? Verse 39. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was, or the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We know that that took place on the day of Pentecost when they received the gift of Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's real interesting. It says, out of their bellies, or the innermost part, it's referring to their innermost being, it says, shall flow rivers of living water. Isn't that beautiful? The word flow is the Greek word rheousosin. And it comes from the root word rheo, which means to speak. As a matter of fact, it's the same root word for the Greek word rhema, or rhema, which many of you are familiar with. That means to speak words in detail. So out of his innermost being, he's going to speak words that are words in detail. There's generally two words that we look at when we see the word. The first one is logos in the Greek. And that word is the words, the individual words. Rhema is more in the sense of what you put those words together to say. So it's kind of, rhema is kind of the meaning. And that's exactly what this is and how this manifestation works. When we speak in tongues and we speak those words, we speak the individual words, but we're giving the gist or the meaning of what we have spoken in a tongue when we go into the interpretation. Isn't that beautiful? It's the rhema of it. So it's evidence of the gift of Holy Spirit, and it's where it's in us, in our innermost being, and we can operate it at will, like all the other manifestations. We can operate them at will. It's praying in the Spirit, and we are to do both. And like I say, in the church, I love the idea that while someone is praying in our language and making a prayer regarding someone or a situation or something, we can sit there and speak in tongues. And the reason is, let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, the purpose is so that we then can release spiritual power to cause an effect, an outcome. That's what we desire to do. When we pray by the Spirit, and when we pray in English, we desire that, but praying by the Spirit effectually releases spiritual power to affect the outcome. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And here is one of the benefits of speaking in tongues. There are a lot of benefits, and maybe sometime we'll sit down and we'll go over the different benefits. But in this particular case, I want to show you this benefit of speaking in tongues and why I speak in tongues a lot in my private prayer life. It says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is really beautiful. It says, and we all come to this, sometimes you just don't know what to say. You know someone has a situation, you know there is an area that we need God's intervention, we need to have power release, we need God to work mightily within us to bring about a resolution or what's the word I'm looking for? Either a resolution or a restoration. How's that? Resolution or restoration. But you just can't, in your mind, you can't think of the words. Nothing that you could say in our language would be sufficient to really explain the depth of your heart for that individual. The situation, I may not even know what the situation is. You see someone who's sick. I don't know what's wrong with them. I can't figure out all of that. And so then I just pray in tongues because it helps with my infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I may want to pray for, say, some brethren that are going through maybe persecution in some other country or something like that. I don't know what exactly to pray for, but I know that if I speak in tongues, the Spirit prays and it will give the rhema, it will give an exact detail what needs to be taken care of. Isn't that beautiful? With groanings which cannot be uttered. We can make intercession. The word intercession means to interpose or come between. cause to intervene for or against something or someone. Look at verse 31 in this Romans chapter 8. Just drop down to verse 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" So whenever we are making intercession for the saints according to the will of God, which it will tell us in verse 27, but it is always for the believer and against our adversary, our spiritual adversary. It is always an interposing for us and against our spiritual enemy. And Ephesians 6, verse 11 tells us, or verse 12 tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against mights and dominions, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high." So what is our enemy? Well, it's spirit. It's not flesh and blood. It may look like flesh and blood. It may even be carried out by flesh and blood, but the cause is always spirit. And so we need something spiritual that will release spiritual power to interpose, to intervene and intercede on behalf of the beloved ones, the believings, the believers, the children of God. Beautiful. It says, let's go back up to verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity, for we know," and the word "know" here is oida. We can't even perceive it. "Not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Wow, groanings that cannot be uttered. That is words that go beyond our compassion and beyond our comprehension. It describes it to a T, the exactly what needs to be done. Isn't that beautiful? How powerful and effective do you think intercession for us can be? Just beautiful. We can call for the power of God to intercede. Let's read the next verse. "And he," meaning God, "that searcheth the hearts," remember God is the searcher of all hearts, "knows what is the mind of the Spirit," because it should be "it," because it's talking about the gift of Holy Spirit. It's not a he, it's an it. "Because it makes intercession for the saints according to" what? "The will of God." The will of God. If it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, then it has to be perfect. And it talks about it, well, we'll look at Peter in a little bit, but it talks about it. That's why in verse 28 it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Isn't that beautiful? We can intervene, we can intercede, we can interpose on behalf of the believer and against the evil spirit realm that comes against us and makes its attacks against us. We can intercede and release spiritual power to defeat the adversary or to end that situation according to the will of God. It makes perfect intercession. It is the exact words that need to say. I'm trying to think of the name of that. During the war, they'd send out coded messages, and we were able to decode what they were saying and therefore be able to defeat their situation. Like in Germany, when we were fighting with Germany, they would send messages to their troops and to their leaders by way of code, and we found a way to decode what they were saying. And then we found a way in when we were fighting in Japan to code messages that they were never able to unscramble during the entire war. It was a particular Indian language, American Indian language. What was that?
Sorry, it was Navajo.
Navajo, yeah, that's right. A particular, it was a particular even dialect of the Navajos that they were unable to ever detect it, and that helped us win many of the battles and bring relief to our troops. So this is what that Spirit of God does for us, and the greatness in speaking in tongues. We can call on the power of God to intercede. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at it in starting in verse 1. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It looks like it. And we always get caught up in looking at the flesh and blood, and we never get to the spiritual and handle the spiritual, which would resolve the situation. At best, we can put ointments and salves on it with our speaking in our language. That's the best we can do. "But we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The text reads, they are mighty to the pulling down and demolition of fortresses. Isn't that something? You know what a fortress is? That is the most secure, the most protected area for your troops to be in a fortress. But what we do and what we have by speaking in tongues is enough to tear down even a fortress, the stronghold. And they are fortresses of evil because they are spiritual fortresses. But we are mighty to the pulling down and the demolition of spiritual fortresses by making intercession according to the will of God. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, the epistle of 1 John. This is in consideration of prayer, because sometimes we don't think that our prayers are very powerful because we don't see something happen, you know, or we don't observe something happening. But I assure you, when we make intercession for the saints according to the will of God, something is done. All of heaven and earth begins to move to bring about healing and deliverance, restoration, intercession, intervening, and interposing between us and against our enemies. It discomfits them. I think there's a record in the Old Testament, 5 of you will chase 1,000, and you know, so many of you will chase, I don't remember the numbers, but the point is they scatter. It can pull down that fortress and then they scatter. Well, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And God is love and he first loved us. And in verse 14 of 1 John chapter 5, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? And remember, when the Spirit helps with our infirmity, in that it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You just cannot miss. It tells us this is the confidence. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So when I speak in tongues, I am asking how. There is no question that he hears it. And if he hears it, here's the next verse. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we what? That we have the petitions that we desired of him. Why? Because it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. It was right in alignment with his will, and it is to interpose, intervene for the saints according to the will of God, and it'll be the pulling down of fortresses and the scattering of the troops. Isn't that beautiful? Man, our prayers are mighty. They are mighty to the pulling down, the demolition of the adversary's strongholds. No matter how strong he has pushed himself, no matter how well his fortress is built, it can be demolished. And we have the authority to do that on behalf of the saints, because if God is for us, so it's not going to be us against each other. That's not going to be our prayer. It's going to be against our enemy, and we are going to win. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. The word confidence is the word meaning free-spoken. I know that whenever I pray in tongues, when I speak in tongues, when I pray by the Spirit or pray in the Spirit, it is free-spoken. I am relaxed because I know whatever I am praying for is going to be according to the will of God. I also know that he is going to hear it. And I also know that if he heard it, I've got the answer. I've got the petition. It's like sitting on the front porch with your best friend. You just sit there and you rock. You know, you don't have to worry. You're going to say something that's going to offend him. He's going to get ticked off and going. You're just sitting there on the front swing, just chit-chatting. And God loves that. It's the kind of thing where we can talk about anything. Beautiful. Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, just get over there, and in verse 16, it tells us, let us therefore come, what? And that's the exact same word as confidence. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It doesn't mean, you know, we're just blindly looking around. We are going to find it. It is going to be there. What we need is going to be applied. What we request is going to be answered. We are making a demand, so to speak, like I taught last week, and the furnace is sending up the heat that we need. You know, the supply is already there. Everything that we would need is already there. We're just releasing it. How beautiful is that? What wonderful power we have. We come with confidence unto the throne of grace, the high seat of authority for divine favor, that we may obtain, not walk away empty-handed, we may obtain mercy beyond your capacity and your ability, and we will find grace. Not just look around it, but look around for it, but we'll find it. To help that runs to the rescue in time of need. That is intercession for us, and we can do that on behalf of one another. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, it says, let us come boldly, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And we'll finish it up here. Isn't this beautiful? Now, we can do this, certainly, without the Amicus Alliance. But I want the brethren that fellowship with us particularly to know that there is a group, and when they make a request, there is a group of us that have decided we're going to set aside time of our lives. We're going to lay down our lives, so to speak. We're going to set it aside. We're going to put it in place, what I had to do, what I was intending for my own purposes. And we are going to pray for those situations. I'm going to pray in my understanding, and I am also going to pray by the Spirit to see that there is a resolution, that there is healing, there is deliverance, that there is a restoration, whatever is needed, and that that attack is stopped, because we're going to pull down, we're going to tear down, and we're going to demolish that fortress that the enemy has set up against you that seems so difficult to overcome. It's going to be moved out of the way, and we're going to walk away with the victory. Romans chapter 8, did I say? Okay. It says, and I'd like to go back starting in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps with our infirmity, for we know what we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. He hears us, he does not ignore us. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28 actually begins with the word then. Because we are doing this, then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How do we know that? Because we have made perfect intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there is an interposing, there is an interceding, there is an intervention there that will demolish the stronghold. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he did predestinate them, whom he did predestinate them, he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who would want to be against us? But there are, and we have the ability to demolish their strongholds. Intercession, interceding, intervening always works, because it is always according to the word of God. How do I know the petition was granted? Because I know he runs to the rescue. It says, verse 28, then we know that all things work together for good. And I just wanted to point out, this word good means harmonious perfection. to them that love God. Those against God might be disappointed, and their plans may be foiled and may not work. But this is where we need to apply ourselves, and we know it will effectually work because he has heard our petitions. Bless your hearts.